Adaptive sports, it can be a great thing for them because they get to do things they thought they couldn't do.
The back-to-back titles I thought was tough, but the three-peat, man, was even tougher.
I don't know if you've been able to catch up on any sleep ever since you won a title. That's what I figured. It's back at it. Welcome to the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. And since it is the off season for stuff on the field, we get to take a peek at things off the field, and this time it's in different sports. The basketball championships, a full week of celebration down in Macon. A lot of great storylines. We'll catch up with some of those coming up after we catch up with our special guests. First time out of the blocks, we get to do a bit of an odd man rush. A fast break opportunity where we catch up with Jerry Hunter, the head coach at Westside Augusta, find out what it was like for them in AA, and also the first-year head coach of the Houston County Sharks, a dynasty in basketball here in the state of Georgia that you might not know about until we caught up with first-year head coach Dr. Jeffrey Martin and the Hoco Sharks. So it's Westside Augusta, it's the Hoco Sharks, and then after that, we catch up with Jeffrey Pierce, the head coach of the Grayson Rams, 7A boys champs. Very special moment for them this past weekend. First ever state championship for Grayson when it comes to boys and hoops in the state of Georgia. But first off, we are in a new Dilly No Dally zone. It's our 2v1. Figured we'd start things off with a bit of a fast break, a 2-on-1, and I am surrounded by champions. Jerry Hunter, the head coach at Westside Augusta, who is nattily attired in his back-to-back gear. Going to catch up with him, and we're also going to catch up with Dr. Jeffrey Martin, who is the head coach of one of the biggest dynasties I don't think you've ever heard of, the Hoco Sharks in wheelchair. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us to break things down from a busy week down in Macon.
Hey, man, thanks for the invitation.
Glad to be here.
So, Coach Hunter, let me start with you. You've got the back-to-back shirt on, and what I want to do is ask, and sometimes the answers are different from coach to coach, but how difficult is it to have the idea of a back-to-back and getting into winning more than one time? How difficult is it to repeat in this day and age when it comes to high school basketball?
It's tough because, you know, kids now, along with some parents, you know, when it comes to coaching their kids and coaching them tough, and that simply means, you know, trying to teach them how the game works, it's difficult, man. And to go back to back, and it's funny you say that because I put this shirt on this morning because it was cool outside, but the back-to-back titles I thought was tough, but the three-peat, man, was even tougher because you lose so many guys now. So back-to-back, it's a little more feasible because you can get those juniors and seniors to play together for 2 years, but to have juniors and seniors for 2 years and then lose all your juniors and seniors, you know, that next season and have to do it all over again, man, it's even tougher.
And Coach Martin, you know, we talk about Coach Hunter and the three-peat there at Westside Augusta, but the Houston County Sharks and wheelchair is a dynasty upon dynasties. I mean, you look at the championships and it is like Hoco Sharks, Hoco, 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 Hoco. And then there was like 1 year, like in the last 13 or 14, I want to say, where Hoco didn't win the state championship. What has it meant for Houston County to have a champion like this that is as dominant in wheelchair as the Sharks are?
It means a great deal to the kids for the most part, and giving them, but first of all, the opportunity to get out there and play sports along with, you know, the regular sports out there, because many times these kids can't participate because of certain conditions. But just to have them out there and willing to play, willing to put forth the effort, the time in, because they do practice, and controlling that wheelchair is key to it all.
So, Coach Hunter, let me ask you this. You mentioned the difficulty of a three-peat. What has this kind of a run meant to the West Side community there and to the eastern side of the state in general? What has it meant to West Side to continue to be on top, and what's the response been like there in the community?
Well, you know, each year we start off our season with keywords. This year the keyword was sustainability. Obviously, you know, we had develop a good team, but in order to transition into that program status, then we had to sustain the teamwork that we had obtained over the years. So now the community understands that, you know, when you get a group of young men together and develop their work ethics and show them that anything that's worth having is worth working for, especially when it comes to sports, because so much is given now a day, more now in this day and time. But to work for it is always a little tougher, man. But the work that came behind it in the community stepped in and supported us the necessary energy, man, to be successful, because we had a great crowd in making.
Dr. Martin, kind of the same question to you, and you get to experience this as a first-year coach. What has it meant to Houston County and to athletics and to the adapted programs and all those that are wrapped around that? What has it meant for the Sharks to be as integral a part of the athletic programs down there as they are?
I think it means a great deal to the community to have those kids out there being able to compete in a different arena. May not be regular sports, but it's in the wheelchair, to bring awareness that these kids do have the opportunity that they can get involved in and participate in sports. Many times kids feel they can't, but this gives them an opportunity to get involved. And what I like about these kids, they're willing. The willingness to come to practice, the willingness to put it in, the time in, and to get out there on the court and perform based on what we've gone through in practice. And for the community, it means a great deal. The more we can get them out there, make the awareness to not only Houston County, but other districts throughout the state, I think it gives us an opportunity to be able to compete with more teams, if we can get more teams involved, because that's what we really want to do, aiming to get more districts to create adapted sports for their people.
Yeah, and I'll bookmark that and come back to you for my next question. I want to ask about Peach County as well, and you're getting rivalries in Middle Georgia. I'll come back to that next. So, Coach Hunter, let me ask you this. With all of the time that you have invested in that program there at Westside, what are the biggest challenges other than graduation and rotation of squad and things like that? What are some of the biggest challenges in addition to graduation to maintain what you've been able to build?
Getting the kids to understand the lifestyle away from the court matters a lot more than the lifestyle on the court, because you only have them for so long during practice. But it's what they do at home. It's their DNA. It's their makeup. It's the environmental issues that come along with the task of developing these young men into becoming great young men. Because, you know, skill set wise, normally it's there. And like I said, some of it may be DNA, man. But to make sure they understand the importance of teamwork and then perseverance, patience. A lot of them, you know, we're in the microwave age. They want to hop in and think it's going to happen the next day. And even when it comes to the AAU sports, you know, I don't knock it because it gives the kids exposure, but it kind of just, kids just kind of play in tournaments. But a high school championship requires a season. And some of them don't know the hardships that accompany, you know, the trials and tribulations and obstacles of a season. But just enduring the patience and perseverance that it takes, and more so endurance to finish a season, man. I mean, we start our strength and conditioning program in August, and here it is March. So, you know, you think about that. They play AAU basketball in tournaments all summer. And then, you know, I'm trying to build their bodies back up. But then you want the same results that they get from certain tournaments that they play in during the summer. But they pretty much are worn out sometimes. So buying into the lifestyle away from the court, strength and conditioning, nurturing, sleep, you know, just all the minor things, man, that are not popular and don't get highlights.
So then, Dr. Martin, let me ask you this. Along those same lines, for someone who would like to be engaged in an adaptive sports, but they haven't taken that step to get involved, what would you say to someone who would like to but hasn't? What would you try to do to convince them that it is definitely worth their time to invest and be a part of the adaptive sports programs there in Middle Georgia?
Well, what I would have to, you know, start off and let them know that you can get involved, and it's not just for the moment. It does lead to other things. Scholarships are possible out of all this. It's schools throughout the nation that do offer adaptive sports, and that it can be a great thing for them, because they get to do things they thought they couldn't do. And the first thing is getting them willing to come to a practice and sit in the chair and try it out for a few minutes to see, get the feel of it. And then once they get the feel of it, hopefully they'll buy into it and then start coming out to practice
and getting better at it each as they go along. And the more we can do that, and the better off they'll be, because a lot of times kids think that, well, that's just it. There's nothing else to do. Once I finish high school, I can't participate anywhere else. But there are schools out there who offer scholarships to them as well.
Two of the great dynasties in the state of Georgia. It is Jerry Hunter, the head coach at Westside Augusta, now a three-peater, and Dr. Jeffrey Martin, the first-year head coach of the Houston County Sharks. The wheelchair dynasty continues in Middle Georgia. Gentlemen, thanks for hanging out with us and breaking down a very, very busy week down there and making congratulations on adding to the trophy case. And congratulations once again, and thank you for all you do for young men and women around the state. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Coach Martin, you're doing a great job, man. I really respect what you're doing.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Two coaches down, one to go, and we're going to go to Grayson. We're going to catch up with our friends in Loganville and find out what it was like for one half of the double that happened on campus. Here's our interview with Grayson Rams boys head coach, Jeffrey Pierce. Now we go to one of the schools with a lot of A's attached, and now they get to add a trophy to all those A's. Jeffrey Pierce, the head coach of the Grayson Rams, thanks for hanging out with us here on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a blessing.
All right, so let me ask you this. Let me ask it this way. How difficult was this season, considering that all folks had to do was look at a top 20 poll and see you there all season long with all of the pressure, all the expectations, community, all the scheduling? How difficult was this season to go from A to Z and come out on top?
It was tough. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. It was tough. One of the things we tried to get the guys to do this year was just embrace the opportunity. We tell them all the time, man, you probably got friends at other schools that would love to trade positions with you. So just embrace the opportunity. You know, my son, he comes around the team a lot. He's in fourth grade, but you know, they could kind of see, you know, how, like, you know, the younger members of the community kind of looked up to him, the student body, things of that nature. So, like, you know, we just try to, you know, before we go into practice, just, you know, let them know, you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's, you know, looking up to you or emulating you. You know, go out and, you know, just put your best effort forward every day, and you'll get better every day as a result. And that was kind of the goal, you know, at the beginning of the year, just to get better every day. That way, once state tournament, state championship came, you know, you're playing your best basketball that you could possibly play.
Now, when you look at your schedule, obviously there's a mm-hmm. lot of W's attached to it by the time that you were done. Mm-hmm. If the math is right, 30-2.
Yes, sir.
What did you
30-2?
Yeah. So then what did you learn about yourself in the two losses that you could carry forward? Because you start out winning until the end of the calendar year, then you lose to Ridgeview by 5, and then you lose to Perry 2 weeks later. What did you learn about yourself in those two games that helped you navigate the rest of the season, region play, and the playoffs here in the state of Georgia?
Yeah, you know, hats off to Ridgeview and to Perry. They both won the state tournament in their states as well. The Ridgeview loss was, I don't want to say a loss was good for us, but it was good in the sense it was at the Chick-fil-A tournament in South Carolina. So it was in Ridgeview, their high school was like 10, 15 minutes away from where we played the game. So it was in essence, it was a home game for them, you know, so it was loud in there. The environment was hostile. So just dealing with adversity, I thought that game, we didn't handle adversity going against us in regards to, you know, 50-50 calls the referees are making, the crowd, it was a very hostile environment. I thought that helped us going into region play, playing in gyms like at Newton County. You know, their fan base does a really great job supporting their program. So when we went over there to play in that environment, it wasn't anything new to the boys. They had dealt with it before. And then with Perry, that was at the Hoop Hall Classic MLK weekend. They got a top five ranked player on their team, and Kowa Pete. So, you know, they took the lead on us. We got it. We got the lead late. And then, you know, we had some miscommunication on the last possession of the game. They got a shot off to beat us at the buzzer. But, you know, just with that game, they learned about attention to detail for the full 32 minutes. And then just dealing with somebody like Kowa Pete kind of helped us, because we played McEachern first game of the year and we beat them. But, you know, of course, they get better throughout the course of the year. So just dealing with a player of Kowa's stature kind of helped prepare us for having to go against Ace again at the end of the year.
Has it sunk in yet that you have authored or have been a co-author to the first state championship for boys basketball in club history? Has that sunk in yet?
I'm not going to lie, not really. Like, it was a relief when it happened. You know, we've been knocking on the door the last few years, so to finally kick the door in was good. But I'm just happy for the players, man. They were really demanding of their time and their effort. So, you know, to win a state championship is great for the program, great for the school, great for the community. But at the end of the day, it just helps us with our goal of getting our kids recruited and signed to colleges, you know, especially with how the transfer portal is going on in college now. These colleges, you know, if you're in high school, it makes it a lot easier for you to get scholarship opportunities if you're playing winning basketball. So I was really happy for the players, man. They and my coaching staff was great this year, too.
Let's ask about the fan support and what it means to the Grayson community. I, you know, having covered football as long as I have, having covered other sports as long as I have, and finally getting the chance to see Grayson win the last game of the year, what has it been like there in the Grayson community to see Grayson Boys Hoops finally get that title? What's the support been like this year?
It's been great. It's been great. My phone's been buzzing the last few days. You know, community support's great. You know, you hear from your former players tapping in with you to congratulate you. You know, we got some fans that been coming to the games. They live in the community. Their kids don't even go here. They've been coming since it was cool to be a fan of Grayson basketball. So to hear from them was cool. We had a guy named Bill Potter, Church Group NG3. They come in and pour into the guys every Thursday. Bill passed from cancer. You know, in May last year. So, you know, I don't know if you saw our shooting shirts. We put his initials on our shooting shirts. We dedicated the season to him. His wife and kids they came to a couple of the games, but they made the drive to Macon. So, you know, to do it for them, that was pretty special as well. But the community support's been great. I tell folks all the time, man, if you, like, when young coaches are, I don't even necessarily mean young, but coaches, you know, they'll hit you up trying to see, you know, what it is, you know, pick your brain in regards to what they can do to build the program. I tell them, man, you know, there's only so much you can do as a coach from, you know, X's and O's and schematics and building a program, but you need that support from administration, one, and the community. You know, it makes a big difference when you're trying to, you know, win that last game of the season.
When you've got those initials on your shooting shirt, Did the roster of the boys team, I know that you and the coaching staff fully understood the gravity of what that meant. Did the boys roster get it as well from the absolute beginning when you put those two initials on the shooting shirt?
Yeah, because you know, I don't, you know, not to put his business out there, but Bill made every meeting on those Thursdays, even when he was going through chemo. So They kind of seen him suffer through his physical condition to make sure he was there for them. So, you know, I think when we would bring up, you know, sacrificing for the team, for the good of the program and all that, they didn't have to look any further than the guy that, you know, was coming in to see him every Thursday, you know, wasn't getting paid to do it. You know, he was just doing it for his love of the program. He had been doing it for the past 8 years. So, you know, the seniors had been around him the previous 3 years or whatnot. So it wasn't anything we had to convince them to do. Like, when they seen the BP on their shirts, they already knew what it was for. So you know, they did a good job with that. I was proud of them.
Last question for you, and thanks for hanging out with us here this quickly after a championship. And cause you mentioned your phone blowing up. What was the wildest response that you got on your phone? I mean, what was the, like, was there like really famous person? What was the coolest response you got? And it could be from somebody famous or somebody not famous. But when your phone's buzzing and blowing up as it has for the last couple of days since you won a championship, what was the coolest thing you got on your phone in the form of a message?
So I have a, my former principal, Dr. Pugh, he probably killed me for saying any of this, but, so he's been like that. He retired this past May. So, you know, he's been coming to some of the games, tapping in with me, you know, giving me encouragement and things of that nature. But, you know, he was just like, we've come a long way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was kind of, you know, shout out to Dr. Pugh. He's had my back, you know, from day one, you know, even when, you know, he had to pull me in the office to tell me to do a better job with some things. You know what I mean? He's always had my back. So he was just like, we've come a long way. And he's right. You know, he's seen the program grow from where it was when we got here to where it is now. So, you know, just to keep hearing from him, I know he's a busy man. You know, that meant a lot.
Well, congratulations. Catch your breath. I don't know if you've been able to catch up on any sleep ever since you won a title. That's what I figured. It's back at it. It's like, okay, so all the court stuff is done. You got to get back to it. Coach Pierce, congratulations. First ever time on the boys' side in school history there at Grayson. I hope you get to catch your breath. I know that practice and AAU, and that's going to come on in another couple of months. So get your caffeine in your system. Get your naps in. And welcome back to Monday through Friday. Thanks. There it is. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Congratulations on the title. We'll catch up soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me, man.
Thanks to all of them for their time, especially on short notice. You win a championship. I hit you up in an email or call the school. They all answered the bell. And thanks to the three of them for answering here for this go-round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, the Hoops Edition. Now, let's run through the state champs. There's a lot of them, so we'll go through them and a lot of the great storylines that came through in Macon over a four-day period. Green Forest Christian, they win both of their championships, so the boys and girls get to celebrate as well. Kell Boys, power here in the southeastern United States. 2024 ends no different. They end up winning the championship on the boys' side in 5A. Same for Sandy Creek, winning the boys' championship in AAA. In 6A, on the girls' side, Marist gets their second title in a three-year period. Congratulations to the Marist School. And Riverwood in 6A, first ever state championship on the boys' side. Congrats to Riverwood as well. St. Francis wins on the girls' side, and Mount Vernon wins on the boys' side in single A. We mentioned the Houston County Sharks winning again in the wheelchair division. Fantastic work being done in Middle Georgia, and they're now adding programs. Peach County is now going to be giving Houston County a new rival, so we'll keep an eye on the folks down there in Middle Georgia. West Side is joined by Mount Perrin in AA for the championships there. Grayson, as we said, won boys and girls in 7A. Baldwin, the girls got their first title since 1988, the girls' side in Quad A, and also in Quad A on the boys' side, North Oconee, first ever trip to the finals. First ever championship, so congrats to North Oconee as well in Quad A. In 5A on the girls' side, it was Maynard Jackson joining Kell for the championships, winning the last game of the year. And in AAA girls, save this one for last. The head coach for Hebron Christian is Jan Azar, and it didn't sink in with me until I actually saw it written down and had to go back and double-check. GPB has shown a lot of Jan Azar in her time, whether it's with Hebron Christian or previously when she was at Wesleyan. 16 state championships for Jan Azar in her coaching career in the state of Georgia. So when I mention coaching royalty, not just in girls' hoops in the state of Georgia, but girls' basketball nationally, Jan Azar should be right at the top of your list. 16 championships. She picks up her third at Hebron Christian, 13 at Wesleyan, 3 now at Hebron Christian, 16 overall for Jan Azar. So getting to the last game of the year is the expectation. Winning the last game of the year is also the expectation. But Jan Azar getting her 16th championship in the state of Georgia in girls hoops. Amazing, staggering numbers for one of the greatest coaches I've ever seen, regardless of sport, here at GPB. That is the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, the Hoops edition. Thanks for hanging out with us. And once again, thanks to our friends with the Houston County Sharks, the Grayson Rams, and with Westside Augusta, Coach Martin, Coach Pierce, and Coach Hunter. Thanks to all of you. And thanks to all of you for joining us, however you do so, each and every time for the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, whether we're talking hoops or whether we're talking other things. So for King James, for Ambassador Jeremy, and for Jake the Snake, I'm just John. Thanks for hanging out with us. Play safe, everybody. Enjoy your games.